We have a few texts here. I want to hit these texts before I get into the topic that I teased into this segment. Chris and Katie text in. I love these texts. I love our listeners. I love the texts that are trying to finesse the perfect playoff scenario for the Texans as if, like, we need to overthink this thing. No, they need to win on Sunday. And then the best case would be if the Jets pulled off some sort of upset against the Patriots, and now all of a sudden they're the two seed.
Yep.
This is my ideal situation for next week, he says. Besides the long shot of getting the bye, which he acknowledges that is that's the best case scenario. But the best case scenario not involving a bye in the wild card round, Houston loss, Tennessee win over Indianapolis, and Baltimore loses to Cleveland. Here's why. We can beat Tennessee in Tennessee. I like our chances of beating Kansas City versus New England, plus a little easier schedule next year and a little bit higher of a draft pick. Well, the draft pick thing, if you're in the playoffs, your draft pick spot is determined by where you finish in the postseason.
Right.
It's not by where you finish record-wise. So if you the four wildcard round losers are going to be in a chunk of four. The divisional round losers are in the next chunk of four, and then so on and so forth to the Super Bowl winner, regardless of record, is picking 32nd in the draft. That's finessing it a little bit. Now, that said, would you rather play Tennessee in Tennessee or the Colts here? It's a fair question, especially if Blaine Gabbert's going to be a quarterback.
Right.
But I think, look, win Sunday and you let the chips fall where they may. That's how I feel.
Absolutely. I mean, you could what would you rather – if you play and you win on Sunday and then Tennessee wins, you're still going to play Tennessee and you're going to play them here.
Yeah.
I don't like playing on the road at all. That's the thing. It's not only really hard to win on the road in the NFL, it's almost impossible to do anything substantial in the playoffs if you're playing on the road.
At any point,
yeah. And then to have to play on the road three times in a row, you have to play on the road against the Titans and then against the Patriots. Like, that's just not going to work. I don't like that at all. Get at least one home game. Get that win, and then see where everything else goes.
We'll pick some of these games at the top of the hour. The Titans are a 3.5-point underdog at home to Indianapolis, which means that if this game were played in Indianapolis on Sunday night, the Colts would be damn near a double-digit favorite in that game. And I know the Colts are one of the hottest teams in football, but look, they needed some things to happen just to beat the Giants at home this past week. Like, I get it. The Colts are playing good football right now. They did just get shut out by Jacksonville a few weeks ago. They needed some big things to happen for them just to beat the Giants at home by one. You know, this is not the Peyton Manning Colts that we're talking about here from a few years ago. It's a good football team. I'd rather not face them if I were the Houston Texans. But let's not get it twisted that you want to go on the road to face somebody else in cold weather in the postseason.
Right.
As opposed to playing a team here that you beat by three in their stadium and were leading 28-10 in that game, and that you lost two by three here. That if you can just cut out some of the gaga from that game, like 60-yard plays down the field to T.Y. Hilton, which I know is, you know, it's a little bit like asking you and I to cut out cheeseburgers. Like, these things happen all the time, it seems like, with Hilton and the Texans.
Bacon cheeseburgers.
Yeah, right. Like, asking you and I to cut out pork products because it happens all
it's
the
impossible.
Time. But still, like, Clint Sterner said one of those things. He said that about, you know, he does Stern Talk every week, and he said that about that last Colts game, the one here a few weeks ago. He's like, if you just put your hand over the scoreboard and you just watch play to play in that game, don't listen to the announcers, just turn the volume down, just watch the coaches film in that game. He said, if you rewatch that game, the Texans made so many silly mistakes in that game that if they cut out those silly mistakes, they win that football game. Which sounds weird to say in a game where Andrew Luck threw for almost 400 yards, but the bottom line is, I go win Sunday, and then you take your chances with how things fall. Look, if the Jets team of the last 3 weeks shows up in New England on Sunday, I'm not saying they're going to beat the Patriots, but we will be in this press box on Sunday. We'll all be scoreboard watching on our computers. We'll be looking over Mike Meltzer's shoulder at his stream of the Patriots and Jets game, with a rooting interest in it, because the Jets have shown up to play the last month or so of the season since Sam Darnold has returned.
Yeah, it's great. And he looked all right at times, but whenever he was playing earlier in the season, but since he's come back, it's just, he has been the guy everybody thought that he could be whenever he got drafted. And he's making Robbie Anderson look like Robbie Anderson's one of the best wide receivers in the NFL, which, I mean, obviously Anderson's incredibly fast, but he doesn't run routes well. He doesn't always have the best of hands. But Sam Darnold has looked incredible. I can't remember which game it was. I think it might have been the game against the Texans, where somebody said that Sam Darnold looked like Tony Romo when he's outside of the pocket.
Yeah.
And he looked like Carson Palmer when he was inside of the pocket.
Yeah.
And you watch him.
It was
like,
a Texans game.
Those are the perfect comparisons for what he's been doing. He's looked incredible the last few weeks.
Good throwing the ball on the move. He's underrated athletically. I think Romo's a good comparison for him, actually. And that's not an insult. Romo was a good quarter. He didn't go deep in the playoffs, but Romo was a good NFL quarter. Put it this way. If you ask the New York Jets fan that Sam Darnold's career, not in terms of how the team is going to accomplish,
statistically,
but just how he's going to play week to week, he's going to be Tony Romo. I think you take your chances with that and hope that whoever's going to be putting that roster together can put together better defenses than the Cowboys had during during the Romo years. A couple more texts I wanted to hit here before we hit the topic that I teased. What's the scenario for the playoffs if the Texans lose? It's pretty simple. If they lose to the Jags, barring a tie between the Titans and the Colts on Sunday night, if one of those two teams wins, whichever team wins that game is going to be the AFC South champs. And depending on whether Baltimore wins or not will dictate whether that team is the three or the four. Baltimore wins and the Texans lose, Baltimore will be the three seed. And whoever wins that Sunday night game will be the four seed. The Texans, if they lose, barring a tie in that Colts-Titans game, will be the sixth seed in the AFC, which, if we're playing the percentages right now, means a trip to Baltimore.
Yeah, which is terrifying. Baltimore against that defense in the cold weather? No, thank you.
Yeah, no. Well, if you're the sixth seed, there's no optimal situation, obviously. I will say this. I'd rather, if you're asking me which of the division, if you're a sixth seed and you're asking me if I'm the Texans, which of the division champions do I want to go face? It's easily Baltimore. It would be the AFC South champs probably if it were Tennessee.
Right.
But if it's Indianapolis, it would be Baltimore that I would want to face in that game. And I know their defense is great. I know it's a great home field advantage. I do trust Romeo Crennel to put together a game plan against albeit a dynamic rookie, but a rookie who's fairly one-dimensional.
Yeah.
Like, I think the Texans' defense would hold up fine in that game compared to how they've held up the last month or so against quarterbacks that can actually throw the football.
See, I disagree. I would rather face the Colts than I would Baltimore.
Okay.
Because I think Romeo Crennel, and we've seen him do it before, I think Romeo Crennel can find some way to at least stop T.Y. Hilton, at least stop him, and then just force Andrew Luck to throw it to everybody else. But stop T.Y. Hilton, because if they stopped it, like you said, in that game, if they don't make a couple of stupid mistakes, if Sharice Wright doesn't have a couple of dumb coverage, back-to-back coverage plays that allow
literal
that touchdown,
back-to-back plays.
Yeah, then that game is completely different. Mm-hmm. It's just little tiny mistakes that they made. I trust that Romeo Crennel could come up with a good game plan against Andrew Luck and the Colts offense more than I trust this offensive line and this offense to put up any points
against
that
Ravens
defense.
That's fair. Cecil, that's fair. Cecil Shorts and Clint Sterner agree with you, by the way. And the big part was that you know where Andrew Luck's going to be.
Right.
You know, he's going to be in the pot. I think Andrew Luck's underrated athletically. I think he can move a little bit. He ain't Lamar Jackson.
Right.
And so, nobody is at this point in the league because there's no other quarterback out there running the ball 20 times a game. One more text. Should we re-sign Tyrann Mathieu? He was supposed to be an impact player. Didn't see it this season. I don't know that that's totally fair. I think he's made plays here and plays there. Has he been the honey badger like he was in 2015? With the Cardinals, probably not. Has he been better than the Honey Badger that played last season that got him cut from Arizona? I think absolutely he's been. He's been somewhere in between to me. And that's a tough one to answer because, okay, what's the price? Should we re-sign Tyrann Mathieu? I don't know. If it's a two-year deal with the same salary as he had this year, if someone said 2 years, $14, $15 million, I'd say re-sign the guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because he's been a good leader for this team as well.
That's the big thing for me. For me, if you give him a contract like that and you do re-sign him, it's kind of like that Bernardrick McKinney signing. Obviously, it's not going to be the same kind of money. He's not going to be one of the highest paid safeties in the league. But it's that signing where it's more about what he means to the defense as a whole, what he means to the team as a whole. Bill O'Brien said it time after time after time. He came in and he was voted a captain when he hadn't been with the team for very long. And that's just who he's been. He's that vocal leader. I really do think he hasn't been the playmaker that maybe we expected him to be, but I think he's been pretty incredible in spots through stretches. He's been really good. Lately, he hasn't been that great in pass coverage, but I think it's a lot of I think it's a lot of in Romeo Crennel's defense. He almost has too much freedom to do what he wants, and he's talked about it before. Where this is a different defense than he's been in. He has a lot more freedom than he's had before, and I think really it's just a continue watching film and balance thing. Because he looked good before, and then it looked like some things started working, so he's taken a few more chances than maybe he should on like disguising coverages and trying to move in and then get back and cover the receiver. So it's just adjustment things, and I think he works hard, and he's a smart enough player that he can make those adjustments.
Well, he's a captain for this team in his first season with the team.
Right,
so the
exactly.
respect level is very evident for Tyrann Mathieu. It's going to be an interesting offseason for Brian Gain on that defensive side of the football, because theoretically he's not going to have the franchise tag to use with Tyrann Mathieu, because everybody expects him to use it in some way with Jadeveon Clowney, whether it's to actually use it to keep him here, to use it to maybe move Clowney if they get offered the right deal,
right.
Or if they use it as a conduit to maybe Clowney getting that long-term extension. But you can only use it on one player, and I think everybody seems to think it's a fait accompli that he's going to use it on Jadeveon Clowney. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. How does Justin Reed's development, how does that affect the Mathieu decision? Because it can affect it one of two ways. The one way it can affect it is you go, well, look, we're already better, even with just Justin Reed, we're better at safety than we feels like we've been since Glover Quinn left right. back 5 years ago. So do you count on Andre Howell being healthy from the start of the season and go with a Howell-Reed tandem and use that money somewhere else? Or is Tyrann Mathieu's presence here one of the reasons why Justin Reed has been able to develop so quickly? You've got a veteran over there that knows what he's doing, is able to help out the rookie, is good for the development of Justin Reed in the locker room, that kind of thing. Not that Reed needs that. He seems like a pretty mature guy. That's something the team knows better than we do.
Right.
The team has a much better grasp on what Tyrann Mathieu means to this team behind the scenes than we do. So it'll be interesting to see what direction they decide to go with that. The good news is they have a ton of cap space. Mm-hmm. So there is the freedom and you've got a rookie QB, but you have a QB on a rookie deal who performs at a high level, which is the number one asset you can have in the NFL.
That's what allowed the Seahawks and Pete Carroll to build what they built when they built the Legion of Boom. And obviously you have to make decisions, and things got broken up after that. But that allows you more flexibility on the defensive side of the ball with guys like Clowney and Tyrann Mathieu. That on Smitty and Trapp, Wade Smith, Travis Johnson talked about how they said, oh, you absolutely sign Clowney. Clowney does things that no other guy in the NFL can
yeah.
do. You sign him. But I don't think both of them said, we don't think that's going to happen. But I think it could happen. I think it absolutely should happen, because you have that quarterback on the rookie deal and you have the money to play with guys like Clowney and Mathieu.
Yeah, anybody who thinks they shouldn't bring back Clowney never has a good answer for how you replace Clowney.
Right, exactly.
You know, like, that's the thing. So
people said Duke Ejiofor. I'm like, Duke Ejiofor was great whenever he first started playing this season, but he's been dealing with injuries,
yeah,
and he's not Clowney.
He was awesome in preseason week 2.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, that's no disrespect to him, but let's face it, he's got a ways to go.